So the 66,000 are training for them. And then
grade three.
Yeah.
Okay, so the if you look on the personnel supplement, page 23.
Okay.
Firefighter grade three. So that number that you see, the 28 that we're gonna hire, that 781,000 is reflective of their salaries after they complete their training. So we did prorate that for the amount of months that they would be here in the city working, filling positions on the trucks. So that group of 20 candidates that would go through the Municipal Academy, we only actually budgeted them for a quarter or a third of the year salary. The $15.
Identify that.
That was page 20. Identify that? Page 23, personnel supplement.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
The last numerated one, which is firefighter grade three.
Okay, firefighter grade three.
Yeah,
okay.
That's an entry level fireman.
Okay, that says 28 positions. Are we talking 28 or are we talking 22?
So the budget has increased 22 positions from last year. Last year we were budgeted for 182. And that would add 22 would bring us up to the 204 we wish to be at. But because we've had retirement since the last budget cycle, we're down to 175. So to bring us up to the 204 that you're budgeted at, you can see that at the bottom of page 23, we would actually be able to put 28 through that process to be able to bring us up. That would account for the retirements from this current fiscal year. So the supplement in the beginning of the supplement summary only shows 22. Because that's only a change from this fiscal year to the next fiscal year. But to bring us up to the 204, we have to account for the current retirements this year that we did not have an academy to fill those spots during the year.
But again, so firefighter grade three, that is strictly the trainees. Do I understand that correctly?
Nope, that is the entry level fireman. Once they finish the training and come on to the job, and they start right. to fill the positions in the trucks, that is their salary. The $15 an hour or $600 a week that we put into the budget was added to the salary line. It's not reflected in the personnel supplement. I'm not positive if that was added to the personnel supplement, but whatever that number was added to the salary line for salary two.
But what I'm not clear on is we have 22 trainees that are gonna begin the academy. Let's assume that all 22 are successful, graduate the academy, go through the 6 weeks of training, and let's assume that they are successful and complete that. That's 22 people. Why? My question is, why in the personnel supplement you're showing firefighter grade three, you're showing 28 positions and not 22 positions?
The 28 positions, through the hiring process, we had hoped to identify other candidates that had already been to the fire academy, had already received their training, and would be able to come on earlier to help offset some of the overtime and provide some relief to the cost in overtime sooner than having to wait. Those extra figures, those extra firefighters that we put in for were an optimistic estimate that we would have firefighters applying, which we have had from other communities that have already been graduates of the Municipal Academy. We hope to achieve that number. Nothing's carved in stone, but as I said, we're still in the application process. We're still in the hiring process and the interview process. So we're too early in the stages of hiring to be able to identify whether or not we'll achieve that goal.
Okay, so right now, what we have is we have a known number of 22 people that will enter into the academy in October. From that time of entrance into the academy, what we have is assumptions and speculations that all of those trainees will be successful throughout the class. They'll be successful throughout the 6 weeks of training and be become firefighters grade three. Also, we have an assumption or a speculation of six additional members that may apply to the fire department and become firefighter grade three. So we have right now, we have technically, we have in that number of positions of 28, technically what we have is six additional positions that have been budgeted for trainees that right now do not exist.
Councilman, they do exist. The difference that you're seeing is currently in the fiscal year, this fiscal year 21, we're budgeted for 182 firemen. We're at right now at 175. So we are six short right now. When we hit the fiscal year 22 budget, if it's approved as it's presented, we will add an additional 22 on top of the six we're already vacant right now. So we're short six right now from the current budget of 182. We want to increase that 182 to 204. That'll give us an additional 22 firemen to add to the six we're already vacant. That's where the 28 comes from. The 22 plus six vacancies.
But you can't hire six people in addition to the 22 trainees, assuming all 22 again are successful, and hopefully they will be. You can't hire six people unless there are six people who graduated from another academy and want to join on to the Warwick Fire Department as a firefighter grade three. You can't hire something that doesn't exist.
Well, it does exist, Councilman. We've begun the process of hiring, and the written test has been administered. We're now in the interview phase, and there have been over six that have applied from other departments that do have the certifications and recent graduates of the Fire Academy. Just because they have doesn't mean they're eligible for hire just yet. We haven't identified them as candidates that we're going to bring on yet because we have not finalized our list. But we do know that we've had in excess of six people that have applied that have that meet that criteria.
Okay, so ahead of this budget passing in some form, you're already in the process of interviewing for new firefighters. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And if you should hire six additional firefighters from another community who have graduated from the academy or otherwise, is that guaranteed that they're going to be starting as a firefighter grade three versus a firefighter grade one?
They would start as a grade three.
Okay. Let me back up. So the 22 new firefighters proposed, what are you budgeting for a yearly salary, not counting pension and healthcare and the other benefits? What are you budgeting for salary for those 22 firefighters once they become firefighters grade three, I guess, is where their first step will be.
Per the contract, a grade three firefighter makes, I believe, $1,006 per week. I believe that's their starting salary.
Grade three is 1,000. What was that, please?
I think it's $1,006. But that's with the 2% contractual raise in July 1st.
Okay, so about $54,000 a year plus correct. Pennies. And so how does that play out with the reduction in what you're claiming will result in a reduction in the overtime? How did you come to a reduction of $1.5 million, hiring 22 new firefighters, and the overtime only being reduced by $1.5 million? How does that formula play out?
Because those firefighters won't be eligible to fill those vacant positions until they graduate from the academy come this next spring. So they won't actually be reduced in overtime until they finish their training. So when we calculated out the overtime, we only calculated them as filling those overtime slots for a quarter or a third of the year, the final quarter or third of the year.
How many, I believe it was, Peter at the beginning of the presentation for the fire put up a chart from Cranston. So I just want to bounce off of that for a bit. How many fire stations do we have in Warwick?
We have 9 stations in Warwick.
And how many fire stations in Cranston?
6.
I'm 7.
6 or 7, we're not really positive, Councilman.
Okay, 6 or 7. And we know with the full complement here in Warwick, we're gonna have 196 firefighters with a full complement. When was the last time the city of Warwick had a full complement?
I believe it was 5 years ago.
2016, I believe it was.
Are you talking a full complement as in 196 with no floaters?
No.
Were we up to what we budgeted for?
I think in 2016, I think you had 196 plus 8 floaters. Yeah, is that correct?
That was the SAFER grant. When we got that SAFER grant from the federal government for the 3 years, I believe at maximum we were up to 226. We haven't
220.
Seen that. Yeah, in fiscal year 18, we were budgeted for 220, and it's gone down since then.
Okay. And in 2018, with that amount of people, you still had overtime of $1,575,990 in 2018. Actually, that was the year end. The budget in 2018 with the full complement plus the floaters was 500,000. And you ended the year with 1,575,990. That's just a number to keep in the back of your mind. How many firefighters do they have in the city of Cranston?
I don't have that information, Councilman.
I believe it's similar. If not, I think their manpower is a little bit higher than ours, but they're a little bit higher. I think they're 200, they're in that 220 range.
Peter, would you have that number? I believe you had gathered the other information on the budget issues. Would you have the number of how many firefighters are in the city of Cranston?
No, I mean, I could look up what the minimum manning is. I could I could even.
Definitely six stations.
How many?
We're asking my chief of staff, Susan Erasian. She was formerly a personnel director in Cranston. She's trying to get the information for you.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
200 firefighters in Cranston.
And how many pieces of equipment do we have in Warwick?
Are you referring to frontline vehicles that were required to staff?
Yeah, all the vehicles that will relate to the required amount of staffing necessary.
That would be nine engines, three ladder trucks, four rescues, a special hazards unit, and two battalion chiefs.
And do we know what Cranston has?
Chief of Staff is working on it.
Okay, thank you. So, Chief, obviously, the overtime is a great concern. I've been on the council for 9 years, attended council meetings for several years prior to running for the council, and every year, it's the same conversation takes place. It's always about the overtime, and every year, what's presented to the city council is give us more staff and we're going to reduce that overtime. I remember one particular year, the city council approved, and I believe it was in 2016, the city council approved the full staff. And at the request of the fire chief at that time, granted the 8 floaters. And at the time, God rest his soul, it was Councilman Solomon who had asked the question about with the additional floaters in a full complement, if the overtime would be held to, I believe the number was 800,000. And even that particular year, the overtime came in over budget. So I have not seen a change, a positive change, or a budget that is lived up to, regardless of what the staffing is in the fire department. In the 9 years that I've been on the council, I have not seen the overtime come in on budget yet. With it didn't matter what the staffing was. Now we have in the last couple of years, it's certainly one of the highest overtime budgets that we have seen. And the overtime, by the way, and I just went back a few years. I went back to year 2017, I believe I have something even a little better than that. In 2016, overtime and fire two budgeted for $1,000,001 and came in at $1,370,000. In fiscal year 2017, it was budgeted for $940,000, came in at $1,058,000. And fiscal year 2017, it was budgeted for $1,000,000 projected budget of $1,150,000. In fiscal year 2018, the budget for overtime was $800,000. And the budget came in at $1,575,000. So I have not seen the overtime being reduced at all as a result of adding on additional firefighters in my time. And now you're looking to bring in a full complement of firefighters, which is fine. And I understand that. And that does relate into a reduction in overtime. I don't feel that the reduction in overtime of $1.5 million is representative of having a full complement of firefighters. In addition to the floaters, I think you said it was going to be two floaters for how many stations? You're going to have two floaters?
Ideally, we were planning on two floaters a shift, which would be eight altogether with four shifts, two on each shift.
Does each station have its own shifts?
It's the four shifts throughout the city. So the number we use when we describe for minimum manning is throughout the city. That many firefighters on duty at one time throughout our nine stations.
Okay. And each station, I believe, has a different manning requirement relating to the equipment at that particular station. Is that correct?
That's right, Councilman.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilman, I'm going to ask you to take a pause here so we can have some other council members who haven't gotten a chance to speak yet, and then we'll come back for people who would like to ask additional questions.
So, Mr. President, are you going to come back now? You're interrupting me in the middle of my questions, and it is terribly disruptive to someone's train of thought when we're asking these questions.
I understand that, Councilman, but you've had the floor for 32 minutes so far, so I just want to give all the members of the council a chance to ask questions for the first time, okay. And then we'll go back to other members.
Okay, fine.
Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, Council President. Thanks, Chief and Assistant Chief, for coming, taking our questions. So I have a few questions I've been pulling together. So on lines 35101 and 35104, these are the base salaries. You mentioned that we haven't made any hires in quite some time, 4 years, I think you said. And then, but the salaries, if I look at the projection in budget, so 35104 looks like that it will be over the 2021 revised budget. And I think the same for, maybe that's the only line there. So just how do salaries, I would think without hiring, salaries would be pretty fixed to budget. So can you, any insight on that?
Which line are we looking at, Councilman? Are we at 35104?
35104, yeah. It's projected at 487076 on a budget of 448448.
Yes, so the most recent projection that we have is 465. That's a more accurate projection based on our current staffing. But the reasoning for that overage is, again, I'm going to go back to like we talked in unused sick time. When somebody retires, unused sick time is paid out to them. The same goes for vacation accruals. So if somebody from that salary line has 24 days of vacation, those get paid out in a lump sum. And I believe we've had two or three people in that line item in pension one retire this year. So their payouts were actually deducted from that line item. It was about $44,000 in payouts in that line. That accounts for that overage.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. I mean, as I look at this budget, I think, you know, Councilman Lattiser and others have, you know, mentioned obviously the overtime. To me, I'm, you know, I just want to get comfortable that, you know, in a year that's been described, you know, as relatively lean, where we are going to tap into some of the rainy day funds, just make sure that we can adhere to the budget. Right. And I think some of the concern that's been raised is that overtime has not tended to meet the budget. And then it forces the administration and all of us to work together and say, okay, where are these millions of dollars going to come from in a budget that's already lean? And so typically that, you know, comes out of services or other things that impact, you know, quality of life, residents, and our ability to, you know, pay our obligations, et cetera. So I want to as we look at the overtime, I think I understand how you backed into this number for 2022, essentially saying, you know, for three quarters of the year, I think is how you did this. We don't have any relief in terms of more staff, but but in that last quarter of the year, we do have relief. And so about a quarter of what we hit in overtime this year, we should be able to eliminate based on the reduction plan. Is that essentially the logic there?
Yep, that's right.
So, sorry. So this year, though, we also had a pandemic, right? And, you know, early on when we had some overtime discussions, one of the reasons that was flagged, you know, what were sort of these onerous but safe precautions around COVID. So I'm just, you know, in your opinion, you know, using 2021 as a baseline and then saying, you know, three quarters of that overtime should still exist and one quarter will be alleviated by new hiring. You know, does that feel fair? Do you not feel that COVID had an impact? You know, didn't that exacerbate the problem, I guess, is my question to you.
It did. It accounted for some overtime, and some of that overtime will be reimbursable for FEMA, but it affected our overtime, it affected our sick time as well. During that time, we were also instructing our people that to, you know, adhere to Rhode Island Department of Health guidelines and CDC guidelines. And if anybody had, you know, any of the symptoms, to stay home. So for the first time in my memory, we were encouraging people to stay home sick if you had any, even one symptom that could possibly be COVID related, so that we don't risk having that person come to work and contaminate our other firefighters. So that did have an impact as well on sick time.
Chief, I remember you reported to me in January, you came on the graph and it was, to date it was 8% of the overtime was attributed to COVID.
Right now it's about 7.5% of our overtime is directly related to COVID. So about 370,000 of that overtime, just this fiscal year. Doesn't include the bulk of it, which was in actually the end of last fiscal year. That's all reimbursable.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's good that it's reimbursable, but I'm thinking forward into this fiscal year. I would imagine that 7.5% or 8% is immediately gone right off the top, right? And then your quarter of the year where you can dramatically reduce the overtime by having a full complement, which you've reflected in your budget, but I don't see that 7.5 or 8% that's COVID related built into the reduction in overtime in this line item. So maybe that means that it gives you more ability to hit the budgeted number and to stay there. And so that would make me feel good, right? Because the important part of the budget is that we hit the numbers that are in the budget. But I just want to, you know, give you the opportunity to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So we're hopeful to hit these overtime numbers. It's very difficult to forecast this budget line because of the minimum man requirements. So much goes into what causes overtime in this department, especially when you're well below the minimum manning. Anybody who's out of work for any reason, it causes overtime. So COVID-related things, vacation, sick time, injuries, and injuries have increased because of our manpower shortages. The chief had talked about that earlier. Every time somebody goes out injured, it increases the overtime again. So it all kind of steamrolls on each other. So we're doing our best to make a aggressive but not overly aggressive projection as to what those overtime are going to be. And we try not to put too many retirement speculations into that argument. What you see in a lot of this overtime cost is we think two or three guys are going to retire, but next thing you know, we get seven or eight. And then that's obviously everyone that retires causes a vacancy, causes over $100,000 in overtime to cover for them for the year.
Yeah.
Where we do see those savings on the other end, like Finance Director Schaefer had talked about in the beginning, is on the other end on the benefits and the health insurance and the pension contributions. On that side of it, you should see a dramatic reduction as relates to the fire department. Being down this many people, the retirements do cause us to have a savings in those benefits. Those ongoing benefits for the active firefighters, they're just not reflected in our budget. And I believe that's why the finance director wants to actually put that into our budget. So you can see where we increase in overtime, we decrease in our benefit contributions, our pension contributions.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that would be, I think that would be a helpful visual to see it that way. Yeah. And really be able to follow the bouncing ball, because a lot of that is what makes this difficult, is to see all the different buckets that things go into. I was trying to follow when you were providing Councilman Lattiser with some numbers on staffing. I'm not going to make you go through the numbers again. Yeah. I just want to understand the answer to the question. Is a class of 22 plus a hopeful pickup of six already trained officers, firefighters, does that get us to our budgeted number, to our full complement, to everything that you need for this plan to come to fruition?
That's the assumptions that we're making, yes. The numbers that you see in front of you are assuming that that plan that you just discussed and we had talked about is going to happen. And that we're hopeful that those numbers are as accurate as we can make them using that assumption.
Okay. Let me just go through, I think. Well, I had one question when we were talking about we're on the personnel, and we talked about the 28, the firefighter grade 3. Again, I was sort of just following along here, doing some math. So there's 781, 840 in that budget item, and divided by 28 positions, it's a budget amount of about $28,000 per head. And I think that we talked about those folks working as a firefighter grade 3 for just about one quarter of the budget. That when you said their full salary was 54,
$100,000 annually. That would look to be about half of the year. So what am I missing there?
So there's a number of them, six or eight of them, that we hope to get on as soon as possible in the fiscal year. So those were budgeted at their full annual salary. The remaining 20 or 22 were only budgeted at a quarter of their annual salary. So it's not the whole 28, it's actually like a 20 and an 8.
Got it.
Mix. So some are at full, some are at a quarter salary.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. Oh, and just one more. I know you're very successful in getting grants frequently. And I saw the training line item increase. Any chance of getting grants to cover any of that new firefighter onboarding training?
We hope so, Councilman. We have applied for a SAFER grant, which is a grant that will pay for, we put in for 20 firefighters for a 3-year period of time. It will cover them for the full 3 years. There is no cost share from the city for this particular grant. The grants have not begun to become awarded yet. We hope their grants are awarded sometime over the summer, hopefully July. So we have applied, and if we are awarded, then the people that we send to the academy in October would be eligible to fall under that particular grant. So the timing of it is actually going to work out well if we were successful. If we hired them now and we were awarded the grant, we would jeopardize that grant because we can't hire them before we'd be awarded the grant. So provided that the grants are awarded in the timetable that they've predicted, that will be well before the October date of when we would start a training academy. And we won't know that for some time, but we have applied.
Okay, so that sounds hopeful. Based on past precedent, you guys have done well at getting those, so hopefully that would happen. So the budgeted dollars for city spending that we currently have, if we were to win some of those grants, where would those go back to? Would they be reinvested in the fire department? Would they go to hire additional firefighters, or would they go back into the city's budget?
That'd be a conversation I'd have to have with the mayor at that time.
We're going to the general fund.
Yeah. It would just be budget line that we wouldn't use.
It would just be a surplus in the budget. Right.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck in your grant process. Good luck in your hiring process. I know it's a lot of work to go through the number of resumes and applicants that you are, but appreciate your hard work trying to drive this down, and look forward to looking back on this budget a year from now and seeing that you hit your numbers.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any members of the council that haven't had an opportunity to ask any questions? Would they like to ask any questions at this time? Okay, I believe we have two council people that would like to ask additional questions, and then we will go to members of the public. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. As I'm just looking over some of the various line items where I understand that we don't fund on speculation, we haven't done that in previous budgets either, yet at the same time, given that we have a context here where the proposed budget for the city as an entirety is looking at a $1.75 million deficit. It is one of those concerns that I have that if there are major cost overruns, then we're looking at drawing down funds, because obviously when our employees are required to work overtime, if our employees, God forbid, get injured, anything that goes wrong, Obviously, the city has to honor its obligations. It has to take care of our employees. And obviously, that goes for whether people, again, God forbid, get injured, get sick, or if it's just a matter of forced overtime or other overtime. Obviously, the city just has to pay its obligations. And so there's really no two ways about it. It's a cost. So with that said, just looking at, say, line items 35, 117, 35, and 35, 124, and taking a look at the projected numbers for the current fiscal year, where combined, the $550,000 and $362,000, we're looking at, you know, say a bit over $900,000 there total. And then taking a look at that line item that I had discussed before on the unused sick time, where in the event that firefighters were to retire, that number would go up. Again, not funded on speculation to that full extent. That's the one that would be the 321, but for this year, it's currently projected at 811,000. So more or less about $500,000 there. And so I'm looking at that, you know, say $500,000 there, $900,000 on those other two line items, 1.4 million. Again, I know that that's entirely speculative, but if we just use the current 2021 numbers as the projected numbers and figure that maybe the 2022 numbers may be in that same ballpark. And then for the reasons that Councilman Lattiser had discussed, and as Councilman Gebhardt had also alluded to, you know, there are some concerns as to that $4.2 million proposed for the 2022 for the overtime. I mean, there are some risks there in overruns. And again, it's not something that we can necessarily predict. It's not like with the minimum manning, we can just compromise public safety. Obviously, we would not do that. So to a certain extent, with the contracts and the laws as they are, with public safety needs being what they are, there's at least to a certain degree, I suppose the numbers are what they are, because we have to make sure that we're fulfilling our contractual and legal duties and protecting public safety. So with all of that said, I think that there is also a risk, given that it is going to take until sometime in February or early March, approximately that only that last quarter of the year, maybe a little more than the last quarter of the fiscal year, to have that full staffing, more or less full staffing, in the event that we are not seeing many firefighters retire between now and then. But there's also the risk of things getting worse before they get better, in the event that there are retirements before then, and in the event that we are unable to hire graduates of the academy who had otherwise graduated, that we're not, aside from the folks that we're sending in there, those applicants or candidates in this coming October. So I guess what I'm getting at there is that while the 4.2 million may be a fair projection, I think that it is certainly grounded in logic. There's also the aspect of this that every single year, the projections have tended to be low. And in part, that is I think, because of a reluctance to have some of that speculation baked in, which, again, it makes sense not to bake in certain speculation. But I think that it's also important to recognize that there are, because we're not funding on the speculation, it seems that there are those inherent risks. And likewise, there are inherently those opportunities through the fire grants. However, on balance, when I'm taking a look at that $900,000 between those two line items, the potential $500,000 or $600,000, depending on what year we use as a comparator for the line item 35116, as well as potential risks that maybe those numbers are going to be higher than they were in previous years. That there are obviously a lot of factors, but between those four line items, the three that I had just named, as well as the overtime, it seems that it perhaps wouldn't, it may be surprising, may not be shocking, may be quite possible, depending on one's perspective, if between those four different line items, the totals came out to perhaps a couple million dollars more than are being budgeted for. So I don't expect that, there's any definitive answer on that. I know that it is inherently speculative, but it is a concern that I wanted to end my comments by simply stating that concern that, and again, it's certainly not intended as a criticism here, because it's a matter of our current contractual obligations. It's a matter of the law, matter of public safety. It's a matter of uncertainties in the future. And I know that none of us have a magic wand to simply prevent fires from happening in the first place. We can't, have control over people in terms of when they take their retirement. Nor should we, want or expect to be able to do that. But I want to make sure to express a concern that perhaps there is a significant risk of $1.5 million or $2 million, more or less, that there may be that sort of shortfall when we're taking a look at all of this a year or a year and a half from now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I've heard some conversation again tonight. It seems it always ends up going down that path about COVID and how COVID certainly has become the more popular item to hang one's hat on. I find it interesting how it affects different businesses and different entities different ways. And it's interesting how some businesses are able to overcome. So where we have fire department, dealt with COVID, as did the police department, as did the DPW and all the other departments here in the city, including the folks that work out of City Hall, all have to deal with the COVID. So what I find interesting is, and I don't particularly agree with this position that was put out there, that Cranston has become the second largest city in the state. I don't buy into that necessarily, but let's assume that Cranston is a parallel to us. Let's just put it that way. They're a parallel to us. Here's some of the interesting things that were put out here this evening. So Cranston has 2 to 3 less fire stations than we have. And they have 4, depending upon what you count as extras or floaters or whatever, 4 additional members of the department. I think that's interesting because with the less amount of fire stations, you also have less equipment. Now, here's some numbers that I find are interesting because, quite frankly, I cannot buy into this overtime number of $4,240,000 with a full complement. I think that the $5.7 million in 2021 was, that was just that's a staggering number. So the police department, they have at full complement, 175 people. The fire department has a full complement of 196. The police department's budget is $21,316,937 for this year. The fire department's budget, $24,643,039, or $3,326,102 more in their budget than the police department. Police department vehicles during their shifts, they're basically running 24/7. The vehicles are on the road 24/7. The officers, whether it's first, second, or third shift, they are out on patrols and doing whatever other duties that they're charged with around the clock based upon their shift. The overtime for the police department is projected for this year is $1,200,000. The overtime for the fire department with a full complement is $4,239,992, or $3,039,000 more than the fire department. In 2016, the fire department's overtime was $1,010,816. Fire department, $1,369,615. In 2017, police, $1,100,000. Fire, $1,218,000. In 2018, police, $1,261,000. Fire, $1,576,000. In 2019, the police department, $1,500,000. Fire department, $3,500,000. In 2020, police department, $1,123,000. Fire department, $4,819,089. And in the current year that we're in right now, the projection for police is $1,321,617, and the fire is $5,739,320. I can't wrap my arms around the significant discrepancies with the overtime costs in the fire department versus the police department. I can't wrap my arms around that math. I certainly cannot come to terms how the department with a full staff, which I support, by the way, full staffing, would still have such a significant increase of overtime from, let's say, 2017. Let's say 2018. I don't think they were at full staff in 2017 or 2018. I could be wrong. But the overtime was $4 million less. So the numbers for me, I just can't make them work. But what's really important is how do the numbers work for the taxpayers, and what are the taxpayers willing to pay? So my feeling is, with a full complement in the fire department, that this overtime number is greatly overstated, or I should say unnecessary. Let's put it that way, better term, that this overtime is unnecessary. And I would certainly hope that the leadership in the fire department is going to bring in a number that's much more comparable to the numbers that are more realistic to the full complement. That's all I have now for statements, Mr. President, questions, perhaps between now and the time Thursday rolls along, maybe I'll have something else.
Thank you, Councilman. At this time, we'd like to open it up to members of the public. If you would like to speak about the fire department budget, please raise your hand. If you'd like to speak about the fire budget, please raise your hand. Looks like we have someone has raised their hand. If we can unmute that person.
Hi, this is Rob Cody.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, members of the mayor's staff. Good evening, mayor. I have a couple of specific questions pertaining to specific line items. But prior to asking those, Councilman Gephardt touched upon something that struck a nerve with me on a topic that I've researched, and the mayor and the fire chief spoke briefly about it. And I just, maybe you guys can give me some clarification. We can all agree that the Warwick Fire Department does a great job at writing grants, and they've been very successful. I commend and applaud them for doing so. Have no doubt that they'll continue to do that in the future. The fire chief stated that they were writing grants to, as they did in 2016, when they hired several firefighters, which covered salary and healthcare benefits. I believe it was for 3 years, $3.1 million. And the mayor had just stated, based upon Councilman Gephardt's question, that if we do receive a grant and for some reason we're very efficient and there's money left over from the grant, I believe I heard the mayor and the fire chief say that that leftover money just rolls back into the general fund. Is that what I heard correctly?
Well, I believe the question was the budgeted amount for the salaries. That's what I was answering. I didn't think the question pertained to the grants.
Well, no, we were speaking about the grant. So if I think Councilman Gephardt's question was if we receive X amount of dollars for grants to hire firefighters and there's residual monies left over, what happens with those residual monies?
Mr. Cody, if I can clarify, the question that I asked was if we receive a grant that helps cover the firefighter grade 3 salaries, and then so those salaries then are paid from that grant, then the budgeted money, not the leftover from the grant, but the money that was budgeted, which is now being paid for with a grant, that is what was described as being returned to the general fund, not to speak for anyone else.
That's how I answered the question too. But Mr. Cody, to your other question about the grants, if there's leftover money, that also goes in general fund.
Okay. So that's the point I want to make. And I just want to make you guys aware that under FEMA guidelines, when a fire department receives a grant, every penny of that money that is allocated must be spent on that specific item of the grant. It cannot be rolled into the general fund, and it cannot be used for anything other than those specific items that were written in the grant. Are you fellows aware of that?
Mr. Cody, I was the financial administrator of the last SAFER grant. And the feds are very strict about what we have to supply for them to reimburse us for the salary and benefits of those firefighters. And they do not release the money. And they certainly do not release extra money because they're very careful that the city supplies the exact data they want and they check it and they give us to the penny what they will allow for federal guidelines. And then annually, we have a single audit that we have to do by law that will also outline any federal grants that the city receives.
And when was the last time that audit was performed?
Last year. It should be. It's online right now from June 30th.
For federal grants that were received by the department?
For all the city, including the school department, we have to do it by law.
Okay, well, I just know because I had some interaction with FEMA and that question came up that monies must be specifically allocated for that line item. And I know there was a little question back in 2016 when we got $3.1 million, and there was a question whether it was all used specifically for the salaries and the healthcare. So I just wanted to caution everybody that
they're very specific about what they want.
I know that. Okay, so let me move on. A few questions. I know the mayor said that he went line by line on this budget, and I'm sure that's a very daunting task. So one of the questions I have that I didn't see anywhere, where is the line item for the payment of longevity of the firefighters?
That's in the salary line. That's calculated in their salary, in the personnel.
It's not supposed to be. It's a separate line item, Chief. It's a separate line item. And we went through this in 2018 when you guys were rolling the unused sick pay into the line item of salary. We had extensive conversation. It's a completely separate line item. It's a completely separate subject matter. And according to basic accounting principles, it needs to be broken out. So let me ask this to everybody, including the mayor. Let me ask the mayor first, since he's the man in charge. This year, mayor, what is the amount of longevity that we'll be paying to the Warwick Fire Department for the members that are receiving a longevity check?